Amen. Well, it's great to be in the house of the Lord on this fine evening. Amen. If you have your Bibles, would you open up to the book of Matthew, chapter 21? Matthew 21, verse 21 reads, "So Jesus answered and said to them, Assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, it will be done." We all face mountains, obstacles, difficulties, problems, hindrances. Mountains that stand in the way. Mark chapter 11, verse 23 reads, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." We all face mountains. The trials, the tests, the impossibility, the elevation. Mountains that accompany great opportunity. A great opportunity, a great future, a great call, a great destiny, and we face mountains. There are some here today facing mountains that stand in the way. There are some here today facing mountains that accompany great opportunity. And I'd say tonight, no matter the type of mountain that stands before us, God is greater than the mountains. And I don't know what you've come in here with tonight. The mountain could speak to so many things. Or maybe it's a whole range of mountains standing before you. And it might be a mountain that is standing in the way. It's an obstacle, or it's a hindrance, it's a problem, it's a difficulty. Or perhaps God has called you onward and he's given you a vision, he's given you a word, and as you step out, you face a mountain. And this is a mountain that accompanies a great opportunity. We serve a God that moves mountains. The Bible says we serve a God that removes mountains. We serve a God that melts mountains, the Word says. We serve a God that fully equips us to take on and overcome every mountain we will face. God is for us. These mountains are part of the process. The truth is, we need these mountains. And God needs these mountains. Because he's trying to develop in us something that's unstoppable. He's trying to take us further, so that we can be those that can persevere no matter what we face, when we face hindrances, obstacles, difficulties, that we're okay with it. That we don't exalt the mountain that we're facing, but rather we exalt the one who moves the mountains. That we know who is on our side. And when God is calling us forward into a great future, maybe he's put a word in your heart concerning your home or your family. And he's calling us to step out. We're going to face some mountains. As God calls a house, a church to advance, the church is going to face some mountains. Mountains that accompany great opportunity. Zechariah 4:7, he says, "Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain." I wonder tonight if you can just take that word into your heart. Make that your confession, whatever the mountain is tonight. You see, because of who is on our side, we are not subject to the mountains. The mountains are subject to us. That's what the Word says. Now, we all face mountains, but the question today is, what are we standing before the mountains with? You see, we're all going to face mountains. We're all going to come up against these obstacles, these hindrances, these difficulties, these trials, these tests. And whether it's simply something that stands in the way and we want to see it moved and we want to see it removed, or whether it is something that stands in our way, a mountain that accompanies great destiny, great opportunity. What are we standing before the mountains with? You know, there are three things we must stand before mountains with, three things we must hold on to and not let go of. And here they are: faith, confession, desire. God is calling us to stand before these mountains that we face with faith. He's calling us to stand before these mountains we face with a right confession. And he's calling us to stand before these mountains with great desire. You see, doubt doesn't move mountains. Unbelief doesn't move mountains. Negative confession doesn't move mountains. Indifference doesn't move mountains. Apathy doesn't move mountains. You know what does move mountains? Faith moves mountains. Confession moves mountains. And desire moves mountains. And so I wonder tonight, whatever mountain we are facing in our life, whether it's one or whether it's a whole range, what are we standing before the mountains with? We all face mountains that stand in the way. Isaiah 40, verses 1 to 5, it reads, "Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Listen to these words: "Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. For the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." What obstacle, what difficulty, what problem, what is the hindrance? Now, it might just be that every single one of us is facing a mountain. No matter who we are, we're all facing mountains. Maybe it's our past. We just can't seem to get past it. It's always there, standing in front of us, staring us down, towering over us and taunting us. It's a mountain that stands in the way. Maybe it's our weakness or our inability. All we see is its elevation. We can't seem to move past it. Maybe there's a problem in our home. Maybe there's a problem in our marriage. Maybe there's a problem with our character, crookedness, and roughness. Maybe we've been stuck in a valley for a long, long time. And if that's the case, can we hear the word of the Lord tonight that every valley shall be exalted and every mountain and hill brought low, the crooked places shall be made straight and the rough places smooth. Listen, if you've been in a valley for a long, long time, that valley is about to be exalted. No matter what we're facing, or we'll face in the future, we serve a God that not only moves mountains, he removes them. The word says that the mountains melt like wax, the presence of the Lord. And so I wonder, even when we come into our times of corporate worship, or we come into the house of the Lord, or into our prayer closet, when we come into our times of intimacy with the Lord and we are crying out, what are we bringing before the mountains that we are facing? We got to bring the presence of the Lord. We got to bring faith. We got to bring proper confession. And we can't let go of desire. You know, sometimes we start right. We go after the mountain with faith, confession, and desire, but because we don't see the mountain move immediately or in the time we've allotted for it to move, faith turns to unbelief and confession turns negative and desire turns to coldness. Because we've gone before the mountain and we've already declared this is how long it should remain and no longer. And so we turn to unbelief. We pull in and we shout at the mountain one time and it doesn't move like we thought it would. And so confession turns. Has doubt crept into our heart? You know, can I remind us tonight of the God that we serve? Job 28:9, it says, he puts his hand on the flint, he overturns the mountains at the roots. Are we partnering with the Lord? Are we bringing what we need be bringing before the mountains? You know, I want to ask that tonight. We can step up to the mountains and God's with us and he's on our side. And I wonder what we're bringing though. Are we bringing faith? Are we bringing confession? Are we bringing desire? Now maybe tonight you're saying, I have faith, but it's little. Well, Matthew chapter 17, verses 14 to 20. You can turn there if you'd like. It reads, and when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. That's a mountain. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him. And the child is cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. For surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. You know, can I say tonight, and I trust we can receive this, a little faith is enough. Just don't fill the rest of the glass with doubt and unbelief. Because I think that's what we do sometimes. We got this little faith, but we fill the rest of the glass with doubt and unbelief and negative confession, lack of desire. But we got this little bit of faith. You know, we believe God can move mountains, but that's about it. That's all we got. Now, we know God is more than enough. But he's partnering with us. And he's trying to develop each one of us. And he has entrusted the kingdom to us in this time in history. I don't know if that weighs heavy on your shoulders. And he's calling us to move forward. We're going to face mountains. A little faith is enough. Just come with a little faith, but don't bring the doubt and don't bring the unbelief. You know, faith and doubt do not coexist. Faith and unbelief do not work together. And I want to ask tonight, what is causing doubt and unbelief? or who is causing doubt and unbelief. You might have somebody in your life and you believe that the mountain can be moved. You believe that the mountains can be removed, but you got someone in your life that is causing doubt and unbelief. Now, we know that the enemy wants to come and cause doubt and unbelief. The enemy loves to show up right where the mountain is. He loves to taunt us all the way to the base of the mountain and tell us it's impossible. Mark chapter 9, verses 20 to 24. And they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." Have you ever felt like this, crying out to the Lord with tears, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief"? The Passion Translation says it like this: when he heard this, the boy's father cried out with tears, saying, "I do believe, Lord. Help my little faith." The Message: no sooner were the words out of his mouth than the father cried, "Then I believe. Help me with my doubts." I'd like to say tonight that we need to go to the Lord with our doubts. Only he can help us with our doubts. Maybe for some here today, that is the mountain. It's back and forth, back and forth. Faith, doubt, faith, doubt, faith, doubt, faith, unbelief. And God is saying, "I need you to bring your doubt to me so we can deal with it." Don't bring your doubt to other people. Don't bring your doubt to other believers. Don't bring your doubt to your spouse. Don't go to your prayer closet and deal with the doubt. Take it to God and let him remove it. Now, I'm not saying we should never talk things through. That's not what I'm saying. But let's not have our faith turn to unbelief. And let's not have our right confession turn to diseased confession. And let's not have our desires stripped from us. Rather, let's take our doubt to the Lord. The Lord wants to see this mountain moved in our life. The voice says, father crying in desperation, "I believe, Lord. Help me to believe." Take your doubt to the Lord. I'd say give it to Jesus tonight. Verses 25 to 29, when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." I think we need to get some holy boldness activated in our life. Often we're pleading with demons when we should be rebuking them. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And so he said to them, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." And so these three things mentioned at the onset tonight: faith, confession, and desire. We know that faith and confession move mountains. Jesus said it is so. But desire? You see, I would say that faith is desire. I would say that confession is desire. And listen to verse 29 of Mark chapter 9. It reads, "So he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." The voice reads, that sort of powerful spirit can only be conquered with much prayer and fasting. You know, if prayer and fasting isn't desire, then I don't know what is. And I think sometimes God is saying this mountain only moves by prayer and fasting. We just want to stroll in with a little faith, a little confession. We don't want to get down and get dirty. We don't want to toil. But he's saying it's the only way. It's the only way you're going to advance. That's the only way this mountain is going to be moved. That's the only way this mountain is going to be uprooted. That's the only way this mountain will be removed from your life so you can gain your future. So your business can gain the future God has for it. So your home can gain the future God has for it. So this church can gain the future God has for it. You see, we need to trust the Lord and we need to step in front of these mountains. And we need to ask the Lord, how do I fight concerning this mountain? And if we hear the Spirit of the Lord calling us to prayer and fasting, or we hear a word from a good brother or sister encouraging us to get into a time of prayer and fasting, why is it that we struggle with that so much when that just might be the key to seeing the mountain move? I would then say, you really don't want the mountain move. You see, if God appeared to us or he came to us and he spoke to us in the night and said, prayer and fasting will move this mountain in your home, and you're saying, I can't live without food. What does this fast look like, Lord? Let's make a deal here, God. Can I still have booster juice? Now, you let the Lord lead you however you want the Lord to lead you, and he might not lead you in a complete fast. That's not what I'm talking about. He might say, get all the rotten entertainment out of your home. He might say, fast from television, fast from media because it's polluting. And it's making the mountain even bigger and bigger. And God's saying, you need to go to the prayer closet. You need to begin to fast and pray to see this mountain moved in your life. Now, I don't know what you're struggling with. It might be something real big. It might be something real small. But even the small things, man, they can be a mountain. Such a hindrance. You know, when we talk about prayer and fasting in church, I mean, I've heard so many messages on prayer and fasting. I've been in so many services where we've been called to pray and fast. It's like, is that what life's all about? It's such a powerful thing. And you don't know until you experience it. And there's power in these things, and that's why the Lord calls us to seasons, for instance, of prayer and fasting. Or, you know, I could mention worship tonight. We've been talking about it a little bit at youth. Just talking about the power of worship. And I think sometimes we just stroll into church and we just think it's, you know, going through motions, you know. Or we got our little 9 expressions of worship checklist, and okay, first song I did that, so we check it off, and second song. You know what I'm talking about? But there's such power behind all these acts. The God of peace shall soon crush Satan underneath your feet. Well, what does that mean? Well, he's calling us to strike against the enemy as we clap our hands. The word says, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. And so back to the prayer and fasting thing, if the Lord is saying this is going to move the mountain, I don't know why I'm spending so much time on this tonight, but maybe this is the key to breakthrough for you. You've been trying everything else, and God is saying this type only moves by prayer and fasting. He's trying to develop something inside of each one of us that is unstoppable. We all face mountains. We face mountains that accompany great opportunity. God has called us to something. God is leading us somewhere. God is taking us to a new place. God is pushing out our borders. God is advancing us, enlarging us, giving us new territory. And here we face mountains. God didn't say, come on, we're going to enlarge the territory, blow the gates of hell wide open. It's going to be a walk in the park. All of a sudden, things start popping up. You know what I'm talking about. We start advancing. We walk out these doors, and it's like mountain after mountain throughout the week. We have a breakthrough with God at the altar. We walk out, and there's a whole range of mountains standing in front of us. New mountains that we never faced before. But we get serious with God, and all of a sudden we face these things. Because with great opportunity, when God is leading us out into the future, mountains accompany these great opportunities. I want to encourage us tonight, don't stand before the mountains with doubt. Don't stand before the mountains with fear. Don't stand before the mountains crippled by the size of them. Don't exalt the mountains. Have you ever got into a conversation with a fellow saint and all they're doing is talking about the mountain? I mean, they know everything about the mountain. They know the topography of the mountain. They know the weather on the mountain. They know the elevation of the mountain. And it's just like, this mountain, it's impossible. They're just glorifying the mountain instead of glorifying and lifting up the mountain mover. Isaiah 41, verses 13 to 16. And I believe this is a prophetic word tonight. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Fear not, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel, I will help you, says the Lord and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make you into a new threshing sledge with sharp teeth. You shall thresh the mountains and beat them small and make the hills like chaff. You shall winnow them. The wind shall carry them away and the whirlwind shall scatter them. You shall rejoice in the Lord and glory in the Holy One of Israel. We've got all we need when we have the Lord. And when we have faith, confession, and desire, and look what He is making us into, a new threshing sledge with sharp teeth. Can you receive this tonight, that you shall thresh the mountains? That you shall beat them small and make the hills like chaff, that you shall winnow them and the wind and the whirlwind shall scatter them. And so I say to you tonight, that's the word of the Lord, and so rejoice in the Holy One. Rejoice in God. Why so downcast my soul? Put my hope in God. We can have the worship team return tonight. What kind of mountain is standing in front of you? What range of mountains are standing in front of you? Like the Father, we may need to cry out to Jesus, I believe, but help me with my doubts. Help my unbelief. Help my little faith. Like the disciples, we may need to heed the words of Jesus. That sort of powerful spirit, that mountain can only be conquered with much prayer and fasting. I ask tonight, do we need our confession healed? Do we need our desire healed? And would we tonight ask the Lord to make us into a new threshing sledge, to thresh mountains? Would we begin to ask the Lord to make this house into a new threshing sledge, to thresh mountains? Would you ask the Lord to make your family into a new threshing sledge, to thresh mountains? Would you ask the Lord to take your business and make it into a new threshing sledge, to thresh mountains for the kingdom of God? Whatever it is tonight, would you cry out that the Lord would do what He promised He would do? I don't know what your mountain is tonight. Would you rise and walk with the Lord and carry faith, confession, and desire before the mountain? We can stand tonight. We don't exalt the mountains. We exalt our God, who overturns the mountains at the roots. Mountains still melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. Just take a moment tonight. whatever the mountain is, bring it before the Lord. Say, God, you know. And he knows full well.